Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is the Legacy of a Nation show. I'm your host, Sun752, and Brother Mac is along with me. It's Saturday, the 24th of October, and this is the Legacy of a Nation show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the topic, where is Hillary Clinton? So without any further ado, as we move forward, as we push through, and as we bring awareness to the Aboriginal community. Brother Mac, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm as fine as one can be, Sun752. Thank you for asking. I trust it all is well with you.
Brother Mac, I'm feeling like a real man should, just like each and every day, and I'm sure that you are feeling the exact same way. And I wish among all of our listeners and for those of us who are like, quote unquote, us in the universe. So
okay. So all right. Well, Sun752. I'd like for our listeners to know what we do and who we are, and with your permission, I'll take care of that. Okay.
Oh, absolutely, Brother Matt. Please carry on.
Legacy of a Nation comes to you every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time for an hour. And we provide a platform whereby we Aborigines can speak among ourselves. We can talk about ourselves. We can talk to ourselves. And we can do this without fear of retribution because we are talking family. We are talking about what has happened to us that makes us the way that we are. So in providing this platform whereby we can talk with each other frankly, we can ask the questions that can't be asked anywhere else, and we can give answers that perhaps can't be given anywhere else, or they would be politically incorrect. And so political correctness secondary to correctness. Legacy of a Nation feels that we need to know that we are Aborigines. By Aborigines, we mean that we are natives to these lands of the Americas that include North America, Central America, South America, and all of the Caribbean islands. Or what makes us Aborigines? What makes us natives? What makes us indigenous? What makes us all of those things is the fact that by way of our ancestry, we have always been here. We were here when the Europeans came 500 years ago by way of Christopher Columbus. He found us already here. Now, it is significant, we feel, to know that within 5 years of the arrival of the Europeans, that 90% of the indigenous population had been eliminated in war with the diseases that the Europeans brought and being worked to death in the mines to produce the gold that Columbus took back and sent back to Europe. And so that part of our story is not told to us in a way that we understand. We hear the story of Columbus and how he is praised as a great explorer, when in reality, Columbus was a tyrant. And so Columbus was tyrannical in that he murdered hundreds of thousands of natives, of Aborigines, of indigenous people who were our ancestors. And then here we are 500 years later wondering why we are the way that we are. Well, Legacy of a Nation feels that we need to know why we are the way that we are. And so in providing this 1 hour a week platform, we might come into some insight and be able to increase our awareness of who we are and how we got to be the way that we are. Now, in coming to you for an hour each week, we over the course of the month, we cover four main topics. The four main topics that we cover are health, number one, history, number two, politics, number three, and economics, number four. Why do we cover these four topics? We cover these four topics because we feel that a nation of people needs to know its how to gain and maintain the health of its citizens, of its residents, of its people. A nation needs to know its history. It needs to know, where did we come from? How did we get here? What is the result of our having come here from someplace else? May even give us some insight as to where we go from here. Politics. A nation needs to know who makes the laws that govern the people. What are the penalties for breaking those laws? What are the qualifications for knowing, for what are the qualifications for making those laws? And so lastly, economics. A nation needs to know how to feed, house, and clothe its citizens. And Legacy of a Nation feels that it is significant and important that we know that we are a nation inside of another nation. We are a nation more than 50 million strong. And if you look at a chart of all the 200 plus nations in the world, and you look at their population, you will find that only 25 of those nations have populations more than 50 million. So if we were a nation with our own flag, instead of being a nation inside of a nation and being referred to with glee as being a minority, we would be number 26 in the nations of the world, population-wise. And as important and as significant, if you looked at the gross national product of all of the nations in the world, you would find that we Aborigines, we indigenous people, we natives, we descendants of slaves, have more money. We handle more money in our community, in our nation, than all but 18 of the nations in the world. Our budget, our money is bigger than over 200 nations. And the really irony here is that we are unaware of who we are, and we're unaware of our position in the world, and we are unaware of how we got to be the way that we are. And thank goodness for Legacy of a Nation, who comes to you for an hour each week. We can talk about these things and get to know each other, get to know ourselves inside out, and get to know who we are as a people, as a nation, and how we stand in the world. Sun 752, if I've left out anything, you can fill it in. Thank you very much for the opportunity to expound and expend. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Matt. Well, as we soldier on, from what I understand, Brother Mac, there are 22 references that let our people know who we are. Are we prepared to do that, or are we
we're not prepared to do the 22 references today.
Okay.
But
that's okay.
But okay.
But I think that people should know that as we make our declaration about our indigenous status, about our aboriginal status, about our native status. There are references. There are 22 references that are available that Brother Mac normally touts and recites, and they let us know about the tribes that were here before Columbus ever stepped foot on these lands back in 1492. So at a later time at a different date, we will definitely relate those things to you. As a matter of fact, Brother Mac, I think I actually had them. I had them written down somewhere. Wait a minute. Don't call me too soon. Let me see, because I may have they may have been down to 16 or 18 references when I did them. Let me see.
Yeah, we hit
if I scroll through. Yeah, we've stepped up. But that's really a testament to us finding out more of who we were.
Exactly.
And it's a beautiful thing. People should know that as an entity, as a movement, Legacy of a Nation seeks to try to raise the consciousness, the level of consciousness and knowledge of self in the Black community. Whether you call us Black, whether you call us American descendants of slaves, whether you call us African Americans, whether you call us whatever you call us, even if you go so far back as to call us Negro or colored, we are learning who we are, and it's important that we know who we are so we can feel confident, so that we can feel that we are in the right place. So many of us who don't know our history feel like we are housed in a foreign land, and that we should go back to somewhere, you know, as many of the Pan-Africanists feel. Now, on the subject of Pan-Africanists, I think that everyone should know that Legacy of a Nation is in competition with no other realm of thought. We are all in our quest for freedom. Maybe the definition of freedom that we seek amongst others are a little bit different in ideology, but when it all comes down to it, we are all in seek of justice, of truth, of understanding, of freedom, and a safe way for us to exist, something that we have not encountered in these lands to our historical knowledge. So, with that being said, this evening, well, let me do my little thing. I want to welcome everybody to the Legacy of a Nation show. The Legacy of a Nation show broadcasts each and every Saturday evening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Legacy of a Nation movement represents, advocates, and supports the Aboriginal, Native, and Indigenous community of North and South America, the Caribbean, Central America. We were here first. We are Indigenous. We are Native. We are Aboriginal. We were here before the European ever came here to rape, pillage, practice genocide, and totally cause havoc and destruction in the name of democracy. We were here before we were ever brought here from Africa, some of us, on African slave ships and the reverse middle passage. We were here before the so-called Native American, and that is in no way any disrespect to the so-called Native American. It's just that the Native American is us, and we are them. We are Legacy of a Nation show, hosted by Brother Mac and Sun 752. I'm your co-host, Sun 752, acting as your host this evening. If you would like to call into the show, the topic of discussion this evening is, where is Hillary Clinton? Where is Hillary Clinton? You know that in 2016, Hillary Clinton was the Democratic candidate running against Donald Trump, and a failed attempt that was very controversial because she actually won the popular vote. But with the 4 years having gone past and us seeing a whole lot and experiencing a whole lot of things that we never would have thought possible, like almost movie script comedy types of things, we're asking the question this evening of, where is Hillary Clinton? What does she think about this? Have you seen her? Have you seen any interviews with her? And I like to say that I have. I have seen interviews with Hillary Clinton recently, within the past week, in fact. And we'll discuss a little bit of that as we soldier on. But if you would like to call into the show and give your two cents. If you would like to ask a question or make a statement or just get on and speak your piece, we invite you to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Once again, the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Press number 1, and that will let us know that you would like to speak, and then we will call you out by the last 4 digits of your telephone number. If you choose to let us know who you are, because that's totally your choice, then we will refer to you by that. So once again, this is the Legacy of a Nation show, and this evening we are asking the question of, where is Hillary Clinton? Have you seen her? Have you seen her? So, Brother Mac, is it the case where you have not seen Hillary Clinton, or have you actually seen an interview with her or heard commentary from her in this year?
Well, since M52, I have gotten some conflicting reports as to the whereabouts and the goings on with Hillary. One is that she and Bill live in Chappaqua, New York, and are enjoying being grandparents, and that she is doing talk shows and just kind of chilling. However, Brother Will I Am sent us a note saying that he wishes that he could be on, but he's traveling and won't be on. But he says that Trump's promise to send Hillary to jail has been kept, and that Hillary is in Guantanamo.
Oh, boy. Now, that's something else, man.
If those aren't too extremes, I don't know what are. But
they are pretty extreme. Yes, they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And my hope is that somebody may have some information that is sandwiched between those two extremes, but I haven't personally seen or heard of anything regarding Hillary, but it came to mind that in this era of Trump reminding us of all of the great things that he promised and has done, that one of the things that he promised to do was to put Hillary in jail.
Well, actually, he never actually promised that. He said that it should happen, but he never pledged to do it. Yeah. And he definitely has not done that. That is an actual fact, that Hillary is alive and well and as free as any other American citizen right now. Like I said, I watch a lot of political TV, and I've seen her in numerous interviews, and you know, you can best believe that if Donald Trump actually delivered on his claims to lock up Hillary Clinton, he would not be silent about it. The man can't hold water. So that would be a heck of a feat, because it wasn't just Hillary Clinton that he claimed should be locked up. It was Hillary Clinton. It was Joe Biden. It was Barack Obama. All of them. They need to all be locked up. They are all free. I've seen them recently. Barack Obama, as you know, was in Philadelphia giving a speech at Lincoln Financial Field the other day. So he's free. Like I said, Hillary Clinton, I saw her on MSNBC last week, you know, giving some commentary about Donald Trump and his claims of having COVID-19 and recovering so fast and things like that. So she gave some commentary. In all actuality, William Barr is unable to deliver on that promise to lock up anybody. They just don't have enough evidence. So, you know, that has been on the Republican side, on the Fox News side, that's something that has been pretty much swept under the rug because they don't like to report that kind of stuff. But the Justice Department won't have it's much ado about nothing. There won't be any arrests because there's no evidence. And of course, you know, our illustrious 45th president knows the value of just throwing some stuff out there, and people trust what the president of the United States says. You know, it's an interesting thing. You know, although it doesn't apply to most of the people who look like you and I. The office of the president of the United States is something that people used to want their children to aspire to, particularly their male children. You know, I would be interested to know how many people would want their children to grow up to behave this way. You know, regardless of whether you're pro or con when it comes to Donald Trump, a person displays themselves the way they display themselves. You know, whether you consider him to be a winner or a loser or a drawer, but would you want your children to mimic him if they were to grow up? And you know what, Brother Mac, that's one of the things that's pretty much been my barometer for everything that I've done in life. You know, I've always asked myself whenever I had the notion to do something professionally that was a little bit, let's say a little bit out of the ordinary, I've always asked myself, well, would I encourage my children to do this? You know, so that's my argument when people give justifications based on money, you know, where the ends are supposed to justify the means. And they're like, okay, so if you ask, well, let's say you were encouraged to be a stripper for money. Say, well, you know, strippers make a lot of money and sex sells and you know, everybody does it or you know, it's no big deal and it's a free society and blah blah blah. But my question is, all right, yeah, that's fine. Now, people solicit prostitution, people solicit sex all the time in many forms, whether it's physical sex or just the visualization of it. But would you want your children to do it? Like, would you go home today and say, you know what, son or daughter, this is how you can make a whole lot of money, and it's respectable. It's respectable too. And my thing has always been, like, if the answer is no, then what are you doing it for? Because undoubtedly there are other ways to make it work. So, you know, that's just a little sidebar. That's just a little sidebar conversation. You know, I mean, people who sell drugs. Like, okay, yeah, it's fine. You know, yes, you sell drugs, but also Pfizer sells drugs and Bayer sells drugs and Smith Klein Beach sells drugs. You're right. Everyone is selling some type of medication. But would you want your child to do it? Would you say, well, forget about going the legal way. The illegal way still will put food on your table and you'll be able to do it until you get caught. Would you encourage your child to do it? That's the question I always ask. And if the answer is no,
since the other side of the coin might be if you see that your child might be the one who would undo some of the malpractice that has been done by other presidents, and that may even be perpetrated by the president currently in office. Could it not be that you might encourage your child to aspire to the office in order to reverse or to quell some of the things that are not beneficial to the general populace and or the country?
Well, no, being the president of the United States is an honorable profession. I'm talking about the man personally. You know, people believe what they see, and they look up to their heroes, and they make heroes out of people who aren't very heroic many times. So my question is, I'm talking about a man's character, his personality, the way that he is, the way that he carries himself. Would you want your child to be like that? Would you want them to conduct themselves like that? I'm not talking about his job. Would you encourage it? Would you say to your son or your daughter, that is the way to present yourself? That is exactly the way that I would like you to act. That's the question I'm asking. This is bigger than your profession. We know that in the sex industry, we will as adults, we should know where that will end you up. In the drug industry, we should know very well where that road ends. But when you see someone outside of their profession, when you see the persona that they have developed or that has been developed for them, the question becomes: Are your children watching somebody that they should mimic? It's simple and plain. I mean, you could ask the same thing about their aunts and uncles, because you'd be quick to explain away some of the things that your own family members would do. If your aunt, if your children's aunt or uncle, your brother or your sister, or your wife's brother or sister were acting a fool, all high on drugs and stuff like that, I think that you would probably be quick to say, "Listen, you know that's your uncle, but you're not going to be nothing like that."
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
No way, we ain't doing that. As a matter of fact, they're not going to be invited to the next Thanksgiving or the next big family dinner. We don't
right.
do that. You know, maybe after they get clean, then you can see an example of what they were like in their natural state. But that is not acceptable behavior. And if you're going to say that the behavior of their own bloodline is unacceptable, I don't see how you can accept someone who you don't know, don't have access to, never have spoken to, don't really know behind the scenes, but is conducting themselves and setting that example that millions of children and grown-ups will follow. I don't see how you cannot take a time to make that a teaching moment. But it is what it is. Brother Meg, we have a call on the line. Brother Elohim has been holding for a while.
Okay.
So
let's bring on the good brother.
Wait a minute. Okay, Brother Elohim, welcome to the Legacy of a Nation show. Thanks for holding on, brother. What's on your mind this evening?
I was trying to figure out whether to go and get dessert. I done had dinner.
Oh, brother.
Go get me some ice cream and cake. By the time I get that done, I'm going to say something. Say hi to you guys and check on Brother Matt. I see he's doing better this week, and that's good. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Brother Elohim.
That went through so many topics since I clicked in. We started with us being here, the first people. That's a original link to something else. I clicked in on us being here, the first people, as far as Hillary was concerned. Actually, I could care less. I don't know what she was. She was running for president. Sorry, I don't know what she is now. But there's more to that story of us being the first ones here. And I agree, we were the first ones on this, you know, the habit of cotton and all that, you know. But we were also the first ones to this planet. Actually, no modern man is indigenous to this planet. You follow what I'm saying? So, I mean, we're the first ones here. Possession is not a tenth of the law, so sure, the planet is out. But I'm just saying, there's more to our story than just the continent itself. And based on the references that you give out, if they go back and look at the first reference, we talk about the, not the Anunnaki, the, oh boy, the ones that were here before Atlantis, the ones that come in from Mars. I forget the name. It'll come to me in a minute. But if we go back to that history, we'll see, you know, we'll see that our progression comes from the stars, not from here. We weren't actually made here. We were made someplace else. We came here. So that also means that all the stuff that we're doing now, as far as astrology, the planes, the jets, all that kind of stuff, is old news to our ancestry. Because we had all this stuff before, and that's where they're digging up everything they can find to find out more information on what to do, what they do. That's why the guy in the Bible, the guy found 64 patents, aeronautical patents in the book of Ezekiel that he patented today. They're stealing from the book, but we're looking at the book the wrong way. So he got 64 aeronautical patents from Ezekiel. They found submarines, spaceships, everything carved into Kemet. You know what I mean? They're just not letting us know that. I just want to say that there's more to our story, but you're absolutely right. We migrated here first. We were here before the Europeans got here. I'm not disavowing that. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying there's more to the story as far as Hillary is concerned. Mm-hmm. Here she is. Hope she's eating well. Because that's more than I can say for some of the people in Haiti under her and Bill Clinton. Done with so many things. I'm just going to turn over there. I'm just glad you're okay, Brother Matt. Good to hear your voice. 7752, good to hear your voice. You sound like a real man. back to you guys.
All right. Brother
Elohim, you have added many things to the menu that's being served up as regarding aboriginality, I'm in agreement with you, but I think that you probably would be in agreement with me when I feel that before you can teach a child higher mathematics, you have to teach him arithmetic. And arithmetic, metaphorically, is what we are trying to talk about on Legacy of a Nation as far as our aboriginality. See, we're going back 500 years to the advent of the Europeans coming from Europe to the Americas. As I read and listen to archaeological stories, they keep trying to slip in that they are finding evidence that Europeans were here long before Columbus 500 years ago, and that's all well and good, but in my opinion, we are caught in a matrix. We're caught in a whirlpool, and the whirlpool is the information.
The Europeans were here before Columbus.
Indeed.
Yeah, the Vikings came here before Columbus did. Leif Erikson and the crew. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead. I just want to throw that out there. So.
Indeed. Right. But you would also concede that we were here when they came too.
Yeah, absolutely right. And the Vikings were tyrants just like Christopher Columbus was.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm just
saying. There's so much to our story that it's difficult to decide where to start telling our story and what part of our story needs to be told in order to be able to understand the untold part. But the 500 years since Columbus, and considering we just had Columbus Day a couple weeks ago, and Columbus Day is now becoming controversial as Native Americans and others start to actually say out loud what kind of person Columbus really was, and that he does not deserve the attention that is given him and the accolades that are poured on him, on his memory, in the form of monuments, statues, the naming of territories, etc. But rather, and my understanding is that this controversy is going on now, and some areas have decided, I think perhaps Canada has decided to not call Columbus Day Columbus Day, but rather to give the attention to Indigenous Peoples Day. Indigenous peoples, of course, refers to us, the people who were and have always been here.
Arose by any other name.
Hey, no, but what is happening that I can see in my own sphere of interest is that the more we talk about our situation, the more we actually learn about it, because in the process of talking about it, somebody is going to say something that is going to cause further research and study. And that in itself is a great positive, because when we don't talk about it, it remains as it was originally spooned out, as it was originally given to us. And those of us who have any longevity, or enough longevity to go back to when that Columbus was a hero. Columbus was a hero who was lost, discovered East or West India. West India. I can remember when I was very young, and I heard about the West Indians. I really did not understand what I was hearing, and then when I got to see some of the West Indians in New York, the people who were called West Indians who were in New York, I'm thinking, wow, they don't look like the quote real Indians. But that was then. I have come into a lot of knowledge since then, and realized, of course, that the West India that they were talking about was the supposed mistake that Columbus has made, and in thinking that he had found a new route to India, and so he called the people that he found here Indians, and so here we are, 500 years later, giving Columbus accolades that he perhaps does not deserve, and not pointing out that Columbus was a tyrannical dictator, who was a cruel taskmaster, and who murdered hundreds of and thousands of people, and he was so cruel that I think it was after his third voyage he was actually condemned by one of the Spanish bishops who had been sent from Spain, and that Columbus was sent back to Spain in chains for the crimes that he had committed against the indigenous people. 7752, am I too far off track here?
Well, you know, I'm sure we can reel it back in. Just to remind them, hey, this is about where is Hillary Clinton? But it's okay, brother.
she's in there somewhere.
She's over there with Columbus. She's over there hiding from Trump, right?
Yeah,
so he won't lock her up.
Could be.
Regarding Hillary, you know, there was a lot of talk about Bill and Hillary going to jail over the Whitewater scandal, whatever that was, but it had to do with the misuse of monies, there was the ever present threat that they were going to go to jail for having been involved in this Whitewater scandal. I think it was in Arkansas. Is that not right, Brother Elohim and Omar?
Yeah, that's correct. Clinton was getting a lot of money.
Yeah, you know. I don't think it's changing the subject too much, but I have found interest in the accusations that are being thrown by former Vice President Biden and President Trump against each other, in that each is pointing out how the other has profited handsomely in dealing with foreign governments. Did anybody besides me notice that?
And by being in close proximity of the president's office.
By being in the president's office, they're in a position to make financial transactions that they don't have to have their own hand stamp on.
Well, the point is they're all doing the same thing.
Yes.
The only time they point each other out is when they become rivals to get more money from the government.
The difference between the two is that one actually did it and the other one just says that the other one did it. So the one who did it... the difference is only one of them is president of the United States and has ever been.
That's the difference.
And the other difference is one has a history of not disclosing any of his financial dealings.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times the very thing that you try to hide the most is the thing that comes out. You know, when you have to depend on other people to keep your secrets for you, well, it's probably a good idea to keep them in your good graces. But being the president of the United States, you would think that it would just be a smart thing. In today's internet era where you can find out anybody's information with the click of a mouse, you would think that the smart thing to do would be to get ahead of it and to be able to control it proactively instead of waiting for it to come out and have yourself looking one way when that puts you in a very, very compromising position. But, when you start talking about the arrogance of of rich white men, I mean, hey, it goes the way it goes. But there are people out here who actually research things and who fact check things instead of just taking whatever they see on the TV's word for it. And that's a growing population. So as well as the people listening to this show, the only way that you can know that any of the things that we talk about are indeed useful and factual for yourself is to research them yourself. If you decide to be lazy, see, I have this thing that I call lazy trust. Lazy trust is what I define as you taking somebody else's word for it because you find them to be credible. However, you only find them to be credible because you don't really feel like looking up what they said. So I trust them. I know that whatever they do is all right. And those are normally the very people that you wind up having to explain your position about because they'll get you mixed up in all kinds of stuff. So that's sort of like the situation that somebody like Donald Trump finds himself in. You know, I mean, everybody can't be right, but everybody can't be wrong either. You know, you have to sort of take it like baseball. It's a game of averages. It's a game of failures. But if everybody that departs from you has pretty much the same story about who you are, what you are, and how you do things, there's probably a little bit of fire to that smoke. I mean, everything can't be a hoax. Not everything. But trying to get back on track for the last 11 minutes that we have left in the show, we're talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I'd like to make one comment about those taxes before you go back to Hillary. What they don't want the people to know is that Trump is legally in his right not to pay taxes. Because if you have, I said massive tax on express trust, if you're setting up trusts for all your business, your family, and all that, you're in the private sector and you don't have to pay taxes. This is what they don't really want to come out.
Trump himself has come out and said that he doesn't pay taxes because he followed the tax code. Yes, their problem is not with him not paying his quote unquote fair share. The problem is in his lack of transparency. If you're following the rules, then why wouldn't you just say that? Just say it.
They don't.
You know what?
They want the people to know that you actually don't have to pay taxes. They don't want the people to know that.
That's why they keep it in the law. Wait. One thing that they have that I have not heard said is that he broke the law by not paying his taxes. That's not what it says. Their problem is with his lack of transparency. How can you have a president of the United States who you would normally have information about if he had irritating nose hairs that was giving him allergy problems? But this guy has had a whole episode of a pandemic that has killed all of these people, and then he emerges from that condition in three or four days. Like, hey, look at me! Look, now I can relate to everybody else that has had this disease. You ready to vote for me now? Right? Can't say that that I have no feelings towards anybody who has it. Look, I had it myself. But now it's gone. So, who's drinking tonight? So, anyway.
He got stuck in the drug.
But what I'm talking about, Brother Elohim, is his lack, your compulsion to try to hide things, to try to conceal things, that's the problem. His lack of transparency. When you're in an influential position like that, your integrity has to be intact. Even if it's really not, people have to feel like it is. And he does nothing to help himself out in that regard. So, you know, get ahead of it. Let me put it in layman's terms. That maybe some of our male male listeners can relate to. Men out there, if you're cheating on your wife, and you get another woman pregnant, you get your girlfriend pregnant, it's not a very good idea to try to conceal that baby if you know that she's going to have the baby. Now, if you terminate the pregnancy, that's one thing, because then it becomes a your word against mine type of thing, besides the paperwork. But if you actually, if you know that your lady is going to go through and actually have the baby, the best thing that you can do for yourself is to let your wife know what's going on. I know that a lot of men say, oh, shoot, I ain't doing that. You crazy. You know what I mean? You going to take me for all I got. And you may not really have anything, but you're gonna take half or whatever it is that you do have. Okay, but the thing is, if you get ahead of it, then you can be the one who explains it correctly. Brother Elohim, you're moving around a little bit too much there. Brother, I'm going to have to mute you for a second. You know what I mean? It almost sounds like you got us in your pocket there. We got to slow you down. Got to slow you down a little bit. Oh, Brother Mac, that's you. Goodness gracious. Oop. Brother Mac, you got it. Sheesh. Respect the microphone, Brother Mac. Goodness gracious.
My bad. My bad.
Yeah, it is. Sheesh. I'm sorry about that, Brother Elohim. I thought it was you.
Okay.
It was definitely not you. But like I was saying, if you get ahead of it, if you go to your wife and you say, well, listen, baby, you know, listen, I'm really sorry about what I did, and I can't believe that I conducted myself this way, but I got caught up in this thing, and hey, look, the baby is coming, and we have to make a decision about how this is going to go, because, you know, you're going to hear about this thing, and I'm probably going to have to, you know, pay my share and spend time with the child and all of that. Hey, wait a minute. Your woman is going to be pissed off at you very much. But the deed is already done. And trust me, she will come to that realization. Like, hey, well, you know, damn. I did kind of sign up for this for better or for worse thing. And this is about as worse as it gets. But you know what? My neighbors don't know about it yet. My family don't know about it yet. My coworkers don't know about it yet. So guess what? Now she has a chance to get ahead of it too. You understand what I'm saying? See, when you spring it on somebody, when you put it in somebody else's hands and you allow them to paint the narrative, that's when you cause more problems. That's how you make a molehill into a mountain, real easy and fast. Now, that's some hardcore wisdom right there, but it is what it is. That's a lot better than everybody. Let's not say nobody, brother Elohim, because then I might have to give you. I might have to let you look through my Rolodex.
Forget to nobody. Here's how normally you're at. They wait until they got caught. Oh, baby, I was just having a bad time. It was just a one-night stand. But you have come to her and tell her that you actually have an affair, that you've been seeing with this woman for a while, rather than get caught and it just be a one-night stand. You had an argument. We was fussing. I was feeling so bad. I was just a one-night stand. I didn't mean nothing. I mean,
That's going to fall flat. Like, you mean to tell me you had unprotected sex with a one night stand? Damn. Okay, listen.
I was mad at you. You know, we were having a little argument.
That ain't. Listen. Let your woman get ahead at it. Get ahead of it. So that y'all can rekindle yourselves as a team. Once you separate yourself from your woman, and the other woman has a chance to tell your story, you done messed up, brother. We have another caller on the line. Caller with the last number is 9821. Welcome to the Legacy of a Nation show. Thank you for holding. Sorry for having you holding on too long. What's on your mind this evening?
Hi, my brothers. Peace and blessings to y'all. How y'all doing?
Peace and blessings to you too. We're feeling great.
This is brother Tom from the men's gathering with Dr.
Hey, Paul. Brother Tom. Good to hear your voice, man.
Yeah, hey, y'all doing? But listen, I just wanted to throw in that I think that Obama had made a deal with Clinton's Hillary and Bill when he gave Hillary the I think that was the state it was the state job that she gave her on the White House, right? To handle foreign affairs.
Yeah,
and also Bill Clinton was president of all the banks. He was the bank president of all the banks, World Bank. And when Barack Obama wanted to change, when he wanted to take over the and straighten out the financial system, they cut a deal so he could get that done. That's the only way he could get that done, by going through Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. So that's what I looked up, but I'm not sure if that was the truth or not, because I saw different versions of it, you know. But that's what I saw, you know.
That's first I heard that. Good information.
Yeah, because that was the deal. Cause remember the way they talked about him, which they all do anyway, the way they talk about each other. But he talked, they said there was no way that a black man is supposed to be in the White House. They ran the president. They ran to Senator Kennedy, and Kennedy said, "No, I'm backing Obama because of the health care bill that he wanted to put through, because they've been trying to do that for like something like 15 years."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why Senator Kennedy backed Obama instead of backing Hillary.
So you said Hillary might have wanted to run before Obama.
Right, that's what the whole idea was, but he couldn't. She couldn't get it because Kennedy wouldn't back her. He wanted Obama in there.
Well,
okay.
The Kennedys have always had a certain amount of influence since JFK, and actually before that with their dad. But you know, it should have become apparent to somebody that the country really just wasn't ready for Hillary. Even if they were ready for a woman, which I really don't think that they are, they weren't ready for Hillary. If it was going to be somebody, it was going to have to be somebody fresh. She was a little too familiar and not that much in a good way. So the lesser of two evils thing didn't work out too well for her. Except in some regions where she was able to overwhelmingly win the popular vote by 3 million votes. That's no small margin. But you got to win the way that the rules say, and she didn't get that done. And here we are 4 years later. We like, look, maybe it would have been a good idea to have her in there. But,
well,
that's an opinion, too. Listen.
No, well, no, nobody loses.
Brother Mac, listen. Brother Mac, I'm sorry, we're out of time. I can't let you finish that statement. 7 o'clock, man. We gotta get out of here.
Very well, 7:52.
All right, listen. I appreciate everybody coming through and listening to the Legacy of a Nation show. I hope that you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoy broadcasting it to you. Please remember to wear your PPE, which is your personal protective clothing. Personal protective equipment, your mask, your gloves if necessary. Practice your social distancing. This pandemic thing is real. If you're anything like me, you know people that have had it and still have lingering effects from it. If you're like me, you know people who have died from it. We don't want either of those people to be you. So on behalf of Brother Mac, Son 752, Brother Elohim, and Legacy of a Nation worldwide, internationally, and universally, we leave you with peace, and we implore you to stay safe. So we'll talk to you next Saturday. Peace.
Much love.
Much love.
Peace and blessings.
All right.